Okay, I've got two more people coming. They know what they're doing. Okay, so I'm going to now look at events, and we're going to work our way through events. Okay, so click on mouse 5. And what these are JavaScript events. Notice I put my mouse on top of this, and when I move it out, it flips it. Okay, so I've got the mouse going in and out, and I can flip it. Okay, so now we're going to look at the source. And I've got a couple of ways of doing this. This is the more up-to-date way, and there was an older way as well that I will show you in a few minutes. So, I started out and I put an image there, and I said image source equals CISA GIF. And then I called it as an alt CIS, and I gave it a name, which is CIS image. Then I put in the event. Now, events are, there's a series of events. If you go to someplace like W3 Schools, they'll give you a whole big list of events. And I am conflicted, as is the rest of the world, about how to write on mouseover. Some places, when you go out, it will have a capital M for mouse and a capital O for over. And some places it doesn't. And I have gone back and forth and written them both ways at least a dozen times. And I've kind of given up and decided that I'm making it lowercase because that seems to work. But the uppercase seems to work too. You can do your own research and decide which way you want to go. You can make the capital M. O on is always lowercase. Then the new word mouse gets a capital and the new word over gets a capital. And it's done both ways, and as I said, I've done enough reading to say I don't think it matters. And you can do it either way you want to do it. But as I said, there have been periods when it had to be one way and periods when it had to be another, and they seem to have calmed down now. And either way seems to work. So, now notice what I'm doing is I'm not really reversing this. I have two images out there, CISA GIF and CISB GIF. And I went into Paint and I flipped the image and saved it as CISB GIF. So CISB GIF is the flipped image. So I'm now saying on mouse over document CIS image source, because this is the name. The source for that CIS image will be CISA GIF. On mouse out, document CIS image source will be CISB GIF. So when the mouse goes out, I see the B. When the mouse goes over, I see the A. Okay? Yeah. Now, notice this is not inside a script. JavaScript events live in their own world. They can be coded directly into HTML. They're not inside a script. So I just set up a paragraph and I put my image in it and I went with it. Okay? But they are part of HTML. JavaScript events can be used within HTML, are part of HTML.
So you still have to bound it by something?
Well, this is no, it's just really just HTML in the sense that it says image source and then. This actually, the little greater than sign way at the bottom after my mouse out, is the ending of that one up at the top right before image. So So, in fact, this goes with that. And so it is saying the image source, and it is basically treating on mouse over and on mouse out the same way as it created source and alt and name and everything. They're all just inside the image tag. So I have the image tag going on there, and I have all of that stuff happening inside the image tag. Okay. So those are two events. As I said, if you go to W3 schools or other places, there's a lot of different events you can use. I'm only showing you a couple of them. The next one is mouse alert. So when I put up, there it is. Okay, look at the first one quickly. But you've already, I said look at the first one quickly. I'll go back just real quick. This is on mouse over and on mouse out. And it's for the image. On mouse over shows CISA, yep. On my sub shows
CISV. I just did one in the columns homework where when the mouse hit an image, it got bigger.
Yeah.
Then you move the mouse off, it got smaller.
Yeah, yeah, same kind of thing. Now, the big thing is that events are not part of JavaScript, they're part of HTML. So they are inserted directly into the HTML. So I have here another on mouse over. And I said on mouse over, it puts up an alert. Okay? Now, this is annoying as it can be. I would never recommend using it because it really is annoying. You have an image, you run something over the image, and some foolishness pops up, and you curse the web page. So I would not recommend using this, huh? Pardon me?
I put ads everywhere.
That's right. And there's the thing that popped up. Okay, so I make that go away and it goes away. Another mouse. Okay. This is an alternate way of writing it, and this used to be the way we always wrote it. Would start out by saying AH reference equals the number sign, and number sign means basically load the page.
XHTML?
No, it really is, probably predates that. It probably predates, it is in XHTML. I wrote it in that because you can see the BR tags that I didn't fix.
Yeah.
Notice I changed the top and I keep forgetting to fix those foolish BR tags. But essentially, this is just an alternate way of doing it, and it was the way that originally we used to do it. So I say here in a paragraph, AH reference equals number sign, and number sign, remember, means reload the page. And on mouse over, I bring up A, and on mouse out, I bring up B, and down below, I provide the information about the image. Okay, so I separated out the information about the image and the action. So if I come here, okay, I'm going to go on mouse out. And it's just going on back and forth. Okay. So that works. And what did I just do? I think I just logged myself out. Well, not logged myself out, got myself out.
What does the number sign mean again?
It means basically the beginning of a page. If you look at that page, and I say refresh. No, it's not doing it. You know, lots of times you see the number sign right there, and I don't quite know why I'm not seeing the number sign. You know how you can put number sign and then the name of a spot?
Yeah.
Number sign, name of a spot means go into the page at that spot.
Top or something.
Yeah. And you can say you can set up a spot. Well, number sign just by itself means just go back into the page.
So is it kind of like classes and ideas?
No.
No.
Number sign with CSS means an ID. So apples and oranges. Number sign when you're using it with CSS means an ID. But just plain number sign when you're using it as part of an address, usually the number sign is followed by something that tells you where to go into the page. If you go back and look at the links I did, the number sign is, if I am halfway down the page and I have a list, I can set up an ID of list there. And then I can say number sign ID, and it will go to that particular spot. And so I can use it as a link around in a page. If you look at the examples for that, and I'm not going to go through them all, but if they're on links. Okay. So I said go to top, and it goes to the top, and then I said go to details, only I've got to make the page smaller. But if I come down in here and I say go to details, it goes to that spot. Well, the reason it picked that spot is I have ID equals details. Okay, and then down at the bottom, I have number sign details, which means go to the place in the page that says number sign details. Number sign just means reload the page itself. It doesn't go to any particular spot. So that's what the number sign does for you. Okay.
So if you didn't have the number sign, it would just automatically go to that middle spot without reloading or refreshing.
I'm not following you.
Like if you pressed the link to go to the middle of the page, but in your page source, when you're writing it, it doesn't have the number sign in front of it. Does that mean that it's just going to go to that middle?
No, that means it will yell at you, basically.
Okay, so it has
to have the number sign. Yeah, you have to have the number sign. Okay, another alternative for that, and I'm giving you, is writing it this way. I'm giving you too many alternates. Pick one you like and go with it. But on this one, I am saying document.images, and I'm putting the image name in square brackets, the name here in square brackets. Okay? On the first one, let me go back to the first one and bring up that code. Okay. So this is two different ways of writing it. Frankly, I like the first way better because I'm not having to put in as much stuff. But I can say document and then put the name directly, or I can say document images, put the name in brackets and quotes. And as I said, very frankly, I kind of don't understand why I bothered to do that, because I can write it a lot simpler if I do it the first way. I'm not real fond of having to do square braces and single quotes and all that. But those are two equivalent ways of doing it. And they work exactly the same. And what I'm saying, images contains CIS image. And it knows what images it has.
And how did you get the alt and the name?
I just wrote them.
You did? Okay.
Alt has to be there if you're going to validate. Image has to have an alt. And what alt is for is people who can't see the screen or people that have visual turned off. It tells them what they just missed. Okay, so the nice thing is to write alt out as a more descriptive sentence. I just write CIS, but the nice thing to do with this is to write this out as a more descriptive sentence, which tells the person what the image was.
Oh, okay. The image description area.
Right.
If there's nothing, if you don't do that, what shows up, just like an X? Nothing at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, it will not validate.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I think it's something else. No,
yeah, images have to have an alt in order to validate.
And it has to have the name, too? Like, you have the name as
In order to do what I'm doing now, it has to have the name, but it doesn't have to have a name to validate. But it has to have it in order because I'm referring to that name inside the mouse over and mouse out. So I have to give the name so it has a name to refer to. Okay? Because in both approaches that I took, one of them I just wrote document.cisimage, and this one I wrote document.images, specifically cisimage. And so it needs to know the name associated with that so that it knows the mouse over and mouse out are associated with that image. That's the connection between the image and the mouse over and mouse out. So it knows I might have 10 images up, and it's only one that I want to have a mouse over and mouse out under, so I need to associate it with that name. So that name associates the ability on mouse over. It tells it what image to do the mouse over on. Okay. And then it says, replace that with CISA GIF. The source for that field should be CISA GIF or CISB GIF, depending on whether I go out or over. The first one is really a clearer, probably, example, I think. So I'm saying here, document CIS image. Well, the name CIS image is associated with that image. So I'm talking about going mouse over and mouse out on that image. Is that resolved? You look like you're still not happy with it.
No, I just think that I'm thinking too much. Like, why would you even need the name? It's not like your image is not going to be anything different because you can't save two images that have the same name.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you that reason is that them's the rules.
Okay, but you get what I'm saying, right? Am I just thinking about it too much?
No. There are times when it seems redundant, which is, I assume, what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a perfect word, yeah.
Okay, I now have a click event. So this is on click. Okay, so I set up a button and I said value click, which means the words that get written in the button. And then I said on click, click up an alert. So if someone is foolish enough to click on this, they are going to get an alert. So this is the on-click event. And again, it is embedded in HTML. It is part of HTML. And there is my hello world. Click button. The only difference here is I put it inside a form, because input type equals button is really part of a form. You don't have to put the words form and close form in, but lots of times people do, and it's really part of a form, so I just redid it to show you that it was part of a form. Okay, so I have input type equals button on the form. Okay, change background. I have a whole bunch of things going on here. Now the background's yellow, now it's aqua, now it's pink, now it's aqua, and now it's yellow, and when I go out it's green, and back it's yellow, and out it's green. And so I've basically got to change the background color. Okay, so there's where I'm changing my background color. I'm saying on mouse over, document, dot body, dot style, dot background color is pink. A lot of these events are lovely and fun to play with, but truly annoying when you actually do them. Do you really want to have something where you run your mouse over it and the background color changes?
Somebody a seizure.
Yes.
If you're making your own button, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, it can be. But, you know, it depends on what the background is. If it's an entertainment area, then yeah, it can be fine. If I'm looking up work for my homework, not so much. So it kind of depends on the context that you're using it in. And now I've got another one.
I guess it would be good for somebody who might be colorblind if you could change the, have a couple of things where you could just change the background to white form.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Because a red background would really just blur in every single letter for them.
Yeah, no, that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
When you're writing your background color, you can do with the other forms too, right?
Say that again.
So for yellow, instead of putting yellow, but
you can put anything you want.
000 or
you can put anything you want. So this is just another way of doing it that avoids that number sign business, where I just said I've got a paragraph, and on mouse over, I am going to change it to pink, and on mouse over, I'm changing it to aqua and yellow and green. So this is just the same kind of thing that I just looked at, but an alternate way. Using the H reference number sign tends to be the older way of doing it. This tends to be more current way of doing it. If you do it at all. Okay, can I go away, please? Okay, now notice this one. This is really annoying because when I get up here, the alert comes up because my alert is over there. So I've got to...
Okay. Yeah, like I said, you can give somebody a seizure now.
Yeah. No, these are not friendly. Other events. Okay, so this is welcome that comes up when I first come up.
I like that one.
You like that one? Okay.
But... are you able to put a graphic with that?
Oh, well, sure. You can put... I just did an alert. You've got an onload. Okay, so there is another event. I've got an onload. And so that means when the page is loaded, I'm going to do that. Onload, there's also an onfocus. So that means when the body of the page has gotten focus, as in been loaded, and that will work there. Then I've got further down here a on change. And notice this one I have a capital C on because, again, it shows my indecision as to which way to go. And then a little further down I have an on blur. So on change tells me the data has been changed. On blur tells me that I've lost focus. In other words, I've left. Okay? So I can have on blur. So these can be, you know, interesting things that you want to tell somebody they've changed the data. You want to tell somebody that they have left the field. These are interesting things when you're putting up a form. But in fact, there are better ways of doing it if you know other things. So I'm going to put in here CIS 122, and then when I tab off here, it says the data has been changed. Okay? And if I go back up here and change it to CIS 159 and tab off, it tells me the data has been changed. If I go back here and do nothing and tab off, it doesn't tell me the data has been changed. Now down here, I am putting in something, whatever. And when I tab off it, it tells me, did you enter the instructor's name? Because that's what I wanted them to put there. Okay? So if I come over here and go off without doing anything, it still tells me the same thing. Because a blur isn't checking to see if I've changed. It's checking to see whether I left the field. So if I tab off the field, it gives me that message. And if I'm here and then come down, even using the mouse, it gives me that message. Okay, so if you want to yell at somebody after they filled out part of a form and make sure they put in the right thing, you can yell at them this way.
With on blur, right?
On blur. Note that history go, negative one, goes backwards. And that's the one I did, was go backwards. So if you look at this, and now I got to find it again because I didn't go forward. Yeah. Okay, if you look at this one, I have the history go negative one, which goes backwards, and history go one will go forward. So instead of using the arrows up at the top to go back and forward, you can have your own little arrows to go back and forward if you choose to. Okay, so my back follows that history go negative one. So as I said, there's a whole load of these you can look up. I'm just illustrating a few of them. Some more clicks. Okay, this is make the background yellow, make the font blue, change the background color to whatever I told you to, red, change the font color to whatever I want it to be, yellow, click here to change the top image, click here to change it back. Change the background color again, and this defaults to pink, and so forth. So that just does a lot of flipping stuff around. And that one uses the number sign. Notice changing the font color is body style color and background color versus color. Background color changes the background color. Just plain color changes the foreground color. Okay. Okay. Some more clicks. These, I made them buttons. That's the only difference. I made them buttons to choose what I wanted to do. Okay. And so those I just wrote a click event. And if they click on the button, magic happens. I like these a little bit better because it gives more control to the user. If I don't want to change the background color, I don't have to click on the button. When I'm roaming around with the mouse and all of a sudden it changes, I feel very out of control. But I'm a control freak, huh? That's right. Okay. This one is Hello World.
Hold on. Mine didn't come up like that.
What?
See, mine didn't come up like that.
Which?
The one we just did with all the buttons.
Which one is it?
I don't know. It was just loading, I guess, or something.
Okay. Okay, this one is an unfocus, which I mentioned can be used instead of an unload. And this just said unfocus, meaning when the body got the focus, then I wanted document.body.style.backgroundColor to be set to beige. And if I wanted to change it, I can use a button to change it if I wanted to or whatever. And this one, I'm starting to get into a function. And that's what we're going to look at next. So I'm going to bring that up like that.
How do you activate the unfocus? Like, on the other page, when it's still white, you turn your page beige?
It should have done it on load. Are you in Firefox?
No, I'm in Chrome.
Okay. Anybody else in Chrome? Did it work?
I'll believe it.
Well, beige can also be close. Okay, so here I've got what is called a function, and that's what we're going to look at next. Now notice the function is in JavaScript. The onFocus is in HTML, but I'm saying onFocus, go and do the JavaScript function. Okay, and we're going to spend some time looking at JavaScript, but this was kind of, functions, this was kind of a good introduction. So I'm saying onFocus, do the function. On focus, this is a function. And, okay, we need to talk a little bit about functions. There are two kinds of functions. There are functions you can write, and there are functions that Microsoft or whoever did for you, that somebody does for you. The two uppercase was a function, I said. But that was a function provided by JavaScript. Okay? Two uppercase was a function provided by JavaScript. So there's a whole lot of functions like that that JavaScript provides you, like math.random and things like that, that you can execute because it knows you're going to want to be able to execute it. It knows you want to change things to uppercase. It knows you want to do these things. So it provides function. When I first started programming, there weren't that many CAN functions, and we had to write our own functions to do those things. And it's a real pain in the neck. So I say thank you to all of the nice providers that have given me functions that have made my life simpler. The other kind of functions are functions you can write. So you can decide what you want to do. So this is a function that I wrote. And it's called function bg set color. So what I'm doing here is saying, this is the function I want you to execute. And this is what I want to have you pass to the function. Here is the function. And whatever you pass, this will receive what you passed. So this is going to receive the passed information. So I am sending up yellow. I am sending up the literal yellow. And so it receives it. Okay, it goes and finds the function of that name. And the two parentheses tell me it's a function. If I'm not sending anything, the two parentheses have nothing in them. But if I'm sending something, I put it inside. So I am sending yellow up, and it's going to be received as color choice. So color choice is becoming yellow. And then down here, inside the function, recognize curly braces, they're inside loops, inside ifs, okay? Inside there, I'm saying document.body.style.backgroundColor equals color choice. Well, I set up, and so right now, what it has, the function has an area called color choice. And it now has yellow in that. And so when I say background color equals color choice, it sets it to yellow. So this is just another way of changing the background color. And it's using something we fondly call functions.
How did you get yours to turn yellow?
By saying on focus, do that function and send it the word yellow.
No, like if I open that page, it's white.
Okay, you've got a problem.
Like, it seems like the only way it turns yellow is if I do the view page source, and then it turns yellow. Nope, it didn't even do it then, though.
I have no idea.
Reload it to F5. It might just be because it's Chrome.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, whether it's Chrome. And I don't want to get out of here right now, but I'll go try Chrome in a minute. Is anybody else using Chrome? Ah, come on. Somebody should be using Chrome.
I can always bring it up in Chrome.
I love Chrome.
Yeah. I hate Chrome. No, I don't hate Chrome. I don't hate it. I like a certain number of menus, and Chrome has far too few menus for my taste.
That's why I like Chrome.
I know. A lot of people like it because of that. I dislike it because of that.
It's somehow everything is just winning the race.
Huh?
It's simple. It's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't like the hidden. I like it there in my face. So, you know, it all depends on what you like.
What he's saying. He's right. It does come up as white.
I see it.
It should.
So show me what it does when you pop it open in Mozilla.
I did. It comes up yellow.
So it just pops up yellow right from the start. Mm.
You should try Opera or Mozilla too.
Oh. Okay, cool.
What did he do?
Well, it works on Mozilla. It just pops up yellow.
Yeah.
It's just with Chrome, you have to do weird stuff to it.
I used to have.
The only way.
Well, I wonder if it's the on focus part. I'll change it to unload in a minute and see if that works. But then we're going to stop because
it works in Opera as well. So.
Yeah, Opera and Firefox are very similar. Okay, so it doesn't like this. So
as soon as you do that, when you go back, it'll probably be yellow.
Okay, so I'm going to change this and put it in.
I think Chrome just doesn't like to work so great.
And I'm going to change this to on load.
Yeah, it doesn't work in Chrome, or it says there's a problem with it in Internet Explorer. It's glitchy.
What does Internet Explorer give as the reason?
I haven't had a. I just opened up. I don't understand why.
It just says, they just say it doesn't work sometimes. It depends on like, what you do with it.
Oh, that's lovely. It doesn't work sometimes.
Hey, you're right, actually. It did work for a minute. Now I went back to it. Now it's...
Okay, so I went out, looked at the source, I came back, and it worked.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Yeah. It could only turn yellow for me if I did the view source.
Okay, so now I want to load.
The same thing.
So I'm going to say.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing.
I really don't like it. Okay, I want to find a page that I've got on my flash drive. How do I do that? Chrome lovers, how do I find that page?
Oh, flash drive?
You go to your flash drive and you open it from Chrome.
No, I want to open it from here.
Yeah, I know.
No, just out of.
I've never done that. I've always just right-clicked on the file in the Explorer.
But what if I want, if I'm there and I want to open a different page? How can I do that? And now you see why I don't like Chrome.
I've never done it that way. I've always opened with Chrome.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm sitting here and I want to open a page.
You just want to simply open another page.
But I got to browse to find it because I don't know where it is.
Top right. You see that little... next to where it says events in JavaScript, there's a little box right there.
That's a new...
That's a new tab. So how do I open it now?
You just did.
No, I want to open a specific page.
I want to open a specific page.
Do you know the name of it?
Yeah, wouldn't
no.
it be something like...
File open.
I don't know the name. Where's file open?
It should be on yours.
Where's file open?
Okay. Look underneath the X mark. There's a three lines
it's
right
the
there.
Three lines on the top
right.
Right.
Yeah.
Three lines on the top right,
and then it says find, or you can press Control F.
Hey, Control F.
Okay. So now what am I going to click find?
No, that's not it.
Oh, no, that's on that page.
That's the search for any top words. Also.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So how do I open a page, guys? All I want to do is open a page.
Okay, you exit this out, you go to Mozilla, and then...
No. I want to sit here and open a page. Chrome lovers of the world, tell me how I can open
a
page.
I'm doing it right now.
I'm trying to figure it out myself.
I usually just go on the flash drive. That's so much easier.
But that's not what I want to do. I'm stubborn. I want to open it here.
They haven't done this, you know.
Google says drag your file into Chrome, and that's how it does.
How can I drag my file? Yeah. I can't get a list of them.
Yeah, so or
open up a two pages
folder, or you can do Control O. Control O.
It seems one of those simple things.
There you go.
It's
Control O. Yeah.
Okay, but now how do I find it?
Get out of that menu.
Get out of the menu.
Yeah, if you click out of the menu.
Now Control O.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have to know that I had to hit Control O to do this.
But that's pretty common.
It's all shortcuts.
Yeah. And I got to remember all these shortcuts in addition to all the shortcuts for every other application.
Well, you know, I do, and they just do everything for you.
I've just never done it. I've always been open with whatever program I'm using, whether it's Firefox or...
But that's not new or anything like that, Control-O. You use that on, like, everything, Word or...
I didn't know that.
I'm not big on memorizing those. I'm really not. I would much rather have a menu.
I'm surprised there's no like option in that little menu.
That's what I'm surprised about.
Why is there
add-ons? The free add-ons and stuff that Chrome gives you. Yeah. They just don't want to like clutter you with like options. Like you have to manually go in and install it each day.
Oh, I know, but that's
Chrome
and
like
for here at school that doesn't work well because they install. Every time the computer goes off, it gets readed.
You can also do it too, because if you have a Chrome account, anytime you log into Chrome from any computer, your add-ons will come up.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
Now, what did I save? Now I can't even remember what I saved it as. What were we talking about before this? Unload.
Unfocus.
And unfocus does work. It just does it on
load. I don't know. I wanted to see if it came up on load. On load, it comes up immediately.
Yeah. Unfocus gets blank with some weird stuff.
That's right.
If you minimize it and then you blow it back up, it'll work instantly.
Okay. No, right. But the point here is on load would be a better thing to do than on focus. Okay. Because it works more universally. So I had said you could either use unload or unfocus. I'm taking that back now and saying use unload, because unload clearly is working better.
Okay. I'm surprised you can't, like, edit that little menu in Chrome to, like, put your own...
You probably can.
I don't think you can. At least not within Chrome.
Okay, we're not going to spend any more time on Chrome. I've established my hatred, and we're now moving on.
I still
love you, Chrome. I don't
care what they say. So, unload makes me think that it immediately does it when you load the page.
That's right.
Unfocus. Right.
Unfocus means when your focus becomes on the body. And in Mozilla, they work the same. Because the body is the main page, so that's the focus going on body, putting the body up. It works like on load.
So do you think like two terms for the same thing, right?
Well, I think on focus has a little more subtlety to it if you go and read it. Yeah. So probably on load is the way to go, because on load we just saw works. So scratch on focus and let's go with on load, and then it worked.
Kind of like we were focusing on it when we were analyzing its page source, and that's why it activated the unfocus?
Apparently.
Okay.
When I minimized it and blew it back up, it did the same thing.
Yeah.
So
apparently that's putting the focus on it, but just loading it wasn't sufficient to put the focus on it. Okay. And in others, it is sufficient, but unload apparently is more universal, and I was basically just using unfocus to show you that they were what I thought was the same, and we've discovered I lied. They're not the same if you happen to use Chrome. Okay, so again, I'm saying unload, go and do that function and send it up yellow, which now becomes document, which now becomes color choice. And then I said, okay, in the document, change the body style background color to whatever you set up in color choice. So if I sent pink up in color choice, it would become pink. If I sent up, what is it, Confield Blue or whatever the names they now have, it will become Confield Blue. If I send up number codes, it will become whatever the number code makes it. Yeah.
I guess in the case of on focus, you could actually add a little more in there and change. So it still say on load, but then it'll also say on focus.
You can do both, sure. But since we found the simple way, which is on load, I'd go with simplicity. Okay, and now I've lost my capture screen. Oh, Chrome, I don't like you. It's gone out of my life. Okay.
Sounds like a bad husband.
I adjusted change badly. Okay, this one I did do on focus and on load just because I was playing around, and I set up two functions. So on focus, I said I was going to set the background, and again, I surely am going to have problems with that. I set it to gray, and then on load, I set the foreground to red. Okay. So I was just there basically showing you that you can have two functions that you can call individually. And that's what I wanted to do there.
And there's my answer.
Yes. Yeah, no, I knew that was coming. Okay, now we're going to go into functions. And we're not going to make it through too many, and that's good. I like to try to get started on it in a separate day from the day we go over it. because I would like you to be able to look at it. So, I'm going to look at intro function 5. And notice it comes up with hello world. I click OK, and it says this is after the function. So, in this particular example, I have, this one was written in XHTML. This one has style. It has a JavaScript. So I can have both style and I can have script. Then I go down into my page and I said, put out an H1 that says this is a header before the function. Then I put in the JavaScript. Now notice we haven't done this much before, but JavaScript can stop and start. So I put in the function up in the head, but I put the part where I want to actually do it down in the body. And I can do that. I can have scripts kind of all over the place. So when I came and hit the H1, I dropped down to the script, and it says, execute basic hello world. So I execute basic hello world, and it puts up an alert. Now notice there is nothing in the curly braces when I'm sending it. There's nothing in the curly braces when I receive, which means I'm sending nothing and I'm receiving nothing. I'm just saying, go do the function. It goes and does the function. It puts up the alert. When I close the alert, it drops down to the line below the script and writes out, this is a header after the function. So again, if I reload this, it comes in, it says this is the header before the function, it puts up the alert, and now I can sit here forever. And nothing's going to happen until I stop the alert. Because again, both alerts and prompts stop the world until the user responds. Okay? So I'm going to sit here and drink some water. And eventually I'm going to get around to clicking OK. So now I click OK, it goes away, and it says this is the header after the function. Okay? Now, the next one says, hello, Anne. So on this one, I said view page source, and this time I'm passing something. So I said basic hello, pass it in. So it is going to pass in up to the function. And when the function receives it, it receives it as passed name. Okay? And then I said alert, hello, concatenated with passed name. And so I called the function, and I sent the Anne up. And Anne gets stored right there. And then when I say hello, it says hello. Okay. Now, did I need to have a function to do this? Absolutely not. I could have just said hello Anne in plain old HTML and we could have forgotten the whole thing. But anyway, the third one down, and don't even begin to ask me what my numbering system is. The third one down, I want the user. I'm prompting the user for a name. So we'll say John. So I'm prompting the user for John, and then I'm saying okay, and it says hello John. And when I make the okay go away, we see this is after the function. Okay, so on this one, I am saying, okay, I'm setting up a variable called the name. I'm putting up a window prompt, and I'm saying, put whatever the person types in, the name.
Thank you.
And then I'm saying, okay, go do basic hello and send them the name. And so the name gets sent. Well, that was clever, and that was while I was walking. Is that the one? Yeah. It's telling me that it's almost time to quit. And it is. Okay. So I'm saying basic hello, and I'm sending the name. Okay. Now, notice I called it the name here. When it gets up there, I receive it as pass name. You can send it and receive it using the same name, or you can send it and receive using different names. And there are, again, strong feelings on both sides of the aisle as to whether you should send and receive using the same name or different. And I am going to basically play around with both, and then we can talk about it a little. But I'm saying, okay, the name is being set up as pass name. Now, pass name is available inside the function. It is not known outside the function. It is local to the function. Okay, and that's why people like it sometimes, is I can do work in the function using particular things, and then the rest of the program doesn't know about them. And I can do calculations in different ways. And as I said, we'll get into that a little more when we get into a little more use of it. But right now I'm sending up the name, and it's going to be John, because that's what I typed in. And it is receiving John as pass name, and so I'm putting up an alert that said, hello, John.
Can you name the name pass name?
Yes. I can call it apples, oranges, and bananas. What the name is doesn't matter. It's,
it just shows that whatever's in that parentheses is going to be turned into the pass name?
Exactly.
So I was just saying, why not just name it pass name, because then you have a reference of where it's going to go. You know what I mean?
And that's your choice. You can call it pass name in both places, or you can go up here and call this the name, and that will work.
Okay.
And I think you'll see it as we go along that I do it different ways. I'm not going to pursue that right this minute because I want to... I've only got about 5 more minutes. So, enter your first name, Anne. Enter your last name, Costa. Hello, Ann Costa. So I entered a first name and I entered a last name and it put out hello, Ann Costa. Now this time I kept the names the same. So I set up down here a variable called first name and last name. I did 2 prompts and then I called it and said, okay, send first name up to the function and send last name up to the function. And they can be the same word or different words. It doesn't matter. Now, the key thing here, and this is key, is the first thing that you send is going to go into the first thing in that receiving area. And the second thing goes into the second. So it's not matching on names because the names could be different. So if I wrote up here last name, first name in the function, then first name would go into last name and last name would go into first name. Okay, so in other words, it's placement, not name, that's carrying it because they can be different names. So the first thing you sent goes into the first receiving, and the second thing you send goes into the second receiving.
You didn't need to caps the end, did you?
It's standard practice, usually with two words, but no, I didn't need to. I don't always do it, but a lot of things you will find in written code will, if there's two words, they'll capitalize the first character of the second one, just because it makes it more readable, because you know one word ended and another word began. And you can't have embedded spaces, so that's a way of kind of combating the problem that you can't have embedded spaces.
And it's better than underscores.
Hmm? And it's easier than underscores. Okay.
Is that the fifth one down?
I think so. It's called 3A5.
Right.
Whatever that means. Hello, Ann Jones. The only difference here is I changed the names. Just to show you that I can change them. So first went into first received, and last name went into last received. So my point here was they can be the same name, which is what I did on the last one, or they can be like this, where I change the name. And that works just fine.
Why do you have quotating blank space in the alert?
Because I want a blank space between the first name and the last name. So I'm saying, show me first received, concatenate that with a space, concatenate that with last received.
Okay.
Okay, I want to try to make it through, so bear with me. We'll be out of here in a minute, these last three. Okay, so here I'm putting the name in, and we'll come back and look at these at the beginning next week. I put in Ann Jones, and I say click, and it says, hello, Ann Jones. Now, there's a little bit of difference here. When I prompt for a name, I think I'm not going to be able to do it all. There we go.
Does it do the window splitting?
I think you can. That drives me even crazier, though. I'm trying to keep track of the source, and yeah. The big thing here is I set up first in and last in. Remember, there are a lot of properties associated with text boxes that we put on a form. There are a lot of properties associated with it. So when I have the text box on a form as opposed to a prompt, the prompt is easy. When I have the text box on a form, I have to tell it specifically, I want you to use the value that's in that text box. So instead of just doing, when I did a prompt, I could just say concatenating with first in. When I'm using it from a text box, I have to use the word value. Because a text box has lots of values. You can change the background color, you can change the foreground color, you can do all kinds of stuff to text boxes. And so I have to say I specifically want the value that is stored inside the text box. That's what I want to see, the value inside the text box. Okay. So that's why you need to have value there. And I'm going to just look at, and then we'll pick up on value next time. I'm going to look at the next one, which says John Doe. And when I click, it says, hello, John Doe. And when I look at this, I am saying here, the value that's in first in, the value that's in last in, and make that string that I concatenated, the value that I put in the field called name out, which is in the form called info, which is on the document. Okay. And we'll pick up with this next week, but just try to take a look at these, because I'm saying put it, get the value of the field called name out on the form called info on the document. That's fine. Just be careful. I mean, mainly because it's like reading two books that explain things in different orders.
Yeah, I understand.
So just be careful.
I find it very helpful.
That's great. If you find it helpful, go with it.
Yes, other things that you could put in for like first IN value, like what if you have, you're doing not names but a list, could you do first, second, third?
Oh, you can call them anything.
Really?
For, you know, apples, bananas, peaches, and pears.
Okay, so last is to be...
That's right.
...be slumped in with second. Okay, cool.
You don't want to do that, though. You want to make a meaningful name.
You mean you don't think apples, bananas, peaches, and pears
well,
is a good plan?
If there's just two, then it would be, like, first one, and then